What is bigger news for fantasy owners? Javier Baez is back in the big leagues, or Chris Towers is back from vacation?
Probably the news about Chris Towers.
Yeah, but you're biased. Yeah. So I was going to ask Al.
I'm unbiased, and I completely agree with Chris. Now,
really?
We knew for sure Baez was going to play every day. That'd be closer to a push.
Just a push?
Yes.
Okay. Welcome to the show. That's a good way to start it. It is about noon Eastern on Tuesday, September 1st. Did I ask this already? Because if I did, I'm going to feel really stupid. But if August is the dog days, what kind of days are in September?
I mean, I'm thinking, you know, just cat days reflexively. You know, it's like word association, dog, cat.
Right.
I was thinking something like, you know, you're rejuvenated by the youth coming back to the majors. I think it's something different. I'm not sure what it would be.
Oh. I think down here in Florida, it's gecko days.
That makes sense.
A lot of those in Florida, absolutely. Well, enough with the nonsense. Today on the show, Danny Salazar was good. Other players have been called up. There were trades made yesterday. We'll read some emails at fantasybaseball@cbsi.com. And go through all Monday's action. And Joey Votto, holy cow, what a year and what a second half Joey Votto is having. How about...
He is very, very good.
He's very on-basey.
Let's see if I can calculate his OPS. Let's see if he's got 12. 1288 OPS in the second half. That's pretty good. That's after the All-Star break.
He has the, 19th highest OPS of all time.
All year long?
No, for his career.
He does?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. I tweeted that out along with a comparison to Miguel Cabrera's career OPS because they're basically identical. And people got really mad that I pointed out a fact.
I would get mad at that too. I know I would get mad at that too because that's where numbers lie.
Well, no. The point is not that Joey Votto's as good as Miguel Cabrera, just that Joey Votto's a lot better than you think.
All right, but...
That's
clearly,
what I took away from
clearly the point was that he was better than Miguel Cabrera, or as good as Miguel Cabrera. That was clearly what you were getting at.
I just said what I was getting at!
Yeah.
You didn't say it in the tweet, did you?
Well, you know, I like to ruffle feathers. I'm a feather ruffler.
Stat of the day. Atlanta has scored 2 runs or less in 20 of Shelby Miller's 27 starts. And now he is 0-11 since his last win on May 17th with a 3.13 ERA. 0-11. It is so annoying to own Shelby Miller.
Ryan Matthews of the Reds got a 1-pitch win last night.
Yeah. What are you implying with that comparison?
Ryan Matthews is better than Shelby Miller, obviously.
See, now I have to say that with these types of comments, it's clear to me that Javier Baez is more valuable to fantasy owners than Chris Towers right
now.
You know, I don't know how to value wins in fantasy. Okay, so I think that if I had a perfect fantasy league, we would do points for hitters and categories for pitchers, which is not possible. But points is, I think, the best way to value a pitcher. But I don't think, or a hitter, excuse me. I don't think points is the best way to value a pitcher because it's so subjective how much you want to make a win. Whereas I think I like categories because I think you pretty much get all 5. With the 5 major categories, ERA, whip, strikeouts, wins, and saves, you pretty much got everything you need from a pitcher. Everything that you could...
Yeah.
Everything you could want to calculate.
I'm probably the wrong person to talk about this because my team has been... My big league team has been really good at pitching lately, and we lose wins every single week because I've got a bunch of Indians... I've got some guys that just don't get wins, and it's just, I value the other 4 things because a win at any point seems so random to me.
Well, how is that team doing? Are you able to?
First place. Okay. First place team, sir.
I mean, it's not totally crazy that Shelby Miller can't win games, and I'm not saying that to knock Shelby Miller. I'm saying that to knock the Braves offense.
Yeah, but he, you know, and he doesn't go super deep into games consistently, but he's averaging 6 1/3 per start
in the last
19. That's fine.
Yeah.
I think that, you know, you have to have, I like wins instead of quality starts because I think wins add some strategy. You have to evaluate players based on what team they play for and how their bullpen is and how many wins you think they'll get. That's part of fantasy. I just think that when you assign a point total to it, I don't know what the right point total is. I think it should be less than 7. I think it should be more like 5 points for a win.
Yeah, that sounds great to me.
Or like FanDuel does it, four. I think four is a good total because it's valuable, but it doesn't, it's not everything.
Right. All right, well, that's Shelby Miller. Email of the day number one is from Brian. It says, hello, Terry, Manny, and Irk.
I believe it's Eric Wedge.
Oh.
The last three Indians managers.
Oh. Well, he didn't, he left the IR, the I out in Irk or Eric. Anyway,
I'm giving Brian the benefit of the doubt here.
Good call. Who would you believe? Come on, Brian, proofread. Who do you believe is this year's fantasy Cy Young and real Cy Young award winning pitcher? The AL seems to have no one exceedingly deserving of the award, while the NL is a true duel between Arrieta and Greinke. What do you think?
Kershaw. Sorry.
It should be Kershaw.
No, it shouldn't. It should be Greinke.
It might not be. It might be Greinke.
It should 100% be Greinke. No, it should 100% be Greinke.
Nah.
Absolutely.
Nah.
Greinke has not had a bad stretch all season. He has been completely consistent. And he is having a season for the ages. How could you say it's Kershaw? It's clearly Greinke.
Season for the ages? It's a very, very good season. But there have been a lot
Look at his ERA! A modern history... Modern era season for the ages.
All right. Then I expect Adam Azer out there on the stump.
I won't have to be.
Pulling for Sonny Gray as the AL Cy Young.
No, look, Greinke, like, Sonny Gray could easily be the AL Cy Young. I got no beef with that. Greinke's got a 161.
He's definitely not the fantasy Cy Young, which is what this question is.
Yeah, who's the fantasy Cy Young, guys?
See, I always have, like, how do you do that? Is it by surplus value? Because Clayton Kershaw was the first pitcher off the board. He might be the best pitcher in baseball, but it's not like he provided the most value. Like, if you drafted Clayton Kershaw, you're happier than if you drafted Jake Arrieta 8 rounds later or whenever.
No, I don't think it's surplus value because that's not the way we do real Cy Youngs.
All right.
Most valuable pitcher, right? I mean, that's...
I think it's surplus value or else it'd be the same question.
Yeah. Yeah, that's why I think you got to...
Then it's probably Arrieta.
Well, why are you coming up with surplus? I guess just because it's fantasy and it's about...
Yeah.
Okay. All right. I'll roll with that.
I think it's Arrieta in the NL. That's obvious. He's the number one pitcher in points and number two in Roto or vice versa.
Yeah.
And who is
and
it in the AL?
And not drafted as such.
And it's probably Sonny Gray in the AL then.
I think you could make a pretty good argument for Gray or a pretty good argument for Keuchel.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or even Chris Archer.
Oh, how could it not be Dallas Keuchel?
It is Keuchel.
Nobody wanted that guy on draft day.
Yep.
Even though he had a good season last year.
Al wanted Dallas Keuchel on draft day. Good job, Al. Good call on him. And Keuchel would be the winner there. And so who's going to be the AL Cy Young? Probably Keuchel, right?
It's David Price.
You think so?
Yeah. I think there's going to be the momentum of how well he's pitching for Toronto. He's carrying them to the playoffs. Let's, ignore the historically great offense. I think it's that.
In all seriousness, he's not the Cy Young, but he could win you a championship because Danny Salazar is now a top 20 starting pitcher. And if you had told me that he was going to say the things that he said after last night's start, which was 7 innings, 2 runs on 6 hits, with a walk and 10 strikeouts at the Blue Jays. He said how tired he was, how sick he felt, basically, because he missed Friday's start. He's still ill. And he wasn't feeling 100%. And he went out and had this gem at the Blue Jays. I wouldn't have started him if I had known he had felt that way.
Yeah.
And what an unbelievable start for Salazar, who's, again, 16th in points, 20th in Roto. And
a ton of strikeouts.
Yeah. And what do you guys think of him? Because he's still giving up some homers. What do you think?
Yeah, but 2.39 ERA since the All-Star break. 7 home runs in his last 8 starts is still a little high, but...
From him, I'll take that.
Yeah.
As long as it's a moderate strikeout rate, if it's, around 0.9 per 9.
Home run rate?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna take that because of everything else that he does. Unless he just radically changes as a pitcher, I don't know that he's never going to have the home run problem.
Where do you think you're going to rank him next year? He certainly looks the part that he could be an ace.
Well,
how do you value wins? And do we think the Indians are going to be less of a train wreck?
It is way, way too early to speculate about that, I think.
I agree. Let's say he's on a 500 team.
Well, let me put it this way. I was going to say I'd make him a top 20 starting pitcher, which, of course, you said he is this year. I'm not necessarily going to speculate that he's going to make the leap into the top 10. And it's, you know, it's a pretty crowded top 10 as it is. So I'm going to say top 20. And for those pitchers, I don't think I worry about wins and losses too much because, I mean, if you look at Chris Sale and how dominant he is.
Or Corey Kluber,
right. You know, another good example. I see what you're saying about Kluber.
No, Kluber's still, right. I think, a top 15 pitcher, even with a
he is,
somewhat
but
down
he's
8-13, year for him.
So he'd rank higher.
Yeah.
But I mean, you know, I'm looking at the top pitchers, and I mean, Kluber's the exception.
Yeah.
What do you mean? The other guys are all on good teams.
Brasco's 12-9, so it could easily be flip flopped.
Kluber's the exception in that the other guys
not
are...
getting wins. Despite being awesome.
Good pitchers tend to get wins.
Yeah.
So three Indians in the top 20?
I don't know about Carrasco. He's probably going to fall just outside.
All right.
You like Salazar more than Carrasco?
At this point, yeah, I do.
So they're like the new Nationals from last year.
Or, like the Nationals this year.
Right. From the,
can't score.
Yeah.
Play defense.
No, I mean with three pitchers in the top 20 or whatever it would be.
Yeah.
Mets are going to have three in the top what? Harvey, Syndergaard,
DeGrom. You could talk me into the top 20. Probably more like top 30, though.
Yeah, I was thinking more like top 30.
Where's Harvey next year?
New York.
Yeah, I don't think they're trading him.
Yeah, probably not.
They like him a lot.
I would say in the 15 to 20 range for me. With Syndergaard being somewhere in the 20s.
Wow, that actually feels low on Harvey. But,
well, I mean,
for which one?
For Harvey. For Harvey.
I mean, it does, you know, that we even with him coming off of Tommy John surgery, I think I had him higher, or at least not lower, coming into this year. But I have to admit, he's not been quite as good as I thought he would be.
Yeah, okay, yeah, no, I agree with that. Email of the day number two is from Joe. His dear Robert, Jimmy, and John. Is that Zeppelin?
Yeah, the surviving members of Led Zeppelin.
How about some love?
Man, you guys are making great calls.
Yeah. How about some love for daily leagues? Any recommendations for widely available batters with extreme lefty-righty splits that I can bench until they're playing against their strengths?
Does Pablo Sandoval count as a widely available player at this point?
Is he still good against lefties?
Against righties. He has a 772 OPS with 10 homers against righties. He has one of the largest splits
that's not
against
really,
righties relative to his...
That's not
it's
that
not great.
Good, though. At third base, I don't care about that. Psh. Come on. Franklin Gutierrez?
Yeah, he's good. I'll pick up Heath's favorite guy, Ryan Rayburn.
Sorry, Chris. I didn't mean to dump on you.
Fine. It's fine. I understand completely.
I just missed you, okay? And I had to host a Friday podcast, and I'm mad at you for it.
I know. I know. Eric Hosmer has a 935 OPS against righties. Is he widely available? No, he's not.
Yeah, see, I think it's probably got to be guys who are better against lefties.
Yeah, just because it'll be less reflected in their...
Chris
in their
Young.
Overall numbers.
So I'm trying to think of the guys that I rely on in DFS. I like Josh Fegley.
Chris Young.
There's actually several good catchers that are good against lefties.
Chris Young for the Yankees?
Yes.
Anybody on the A's?
Besides Fegley?
Yeah.
Not that I can think of. I don't think there's anybody.
Ben Paulson? Maybe. Michael Kadire. Michael Kadire has been mashing lefties, and he only plays against lefties.
So that's a good one.
Yeah. And yeah. Chris Young's only 16% owned. I think they sit Conforto for Kadire. No. All right, then. Trades and call-ups. The Cubs called up Javier Baez. The Reds called up Adam Duvall. Do either of these guys matter?
Baez does. Potentially matters so that he's a really good stash. He's, I think, 43% owned. on CBS, which means that there's even some deeper formats where you could probably get him. He's probably going to play quite a bit against lefties. So there you go. Pick up Javier Baez and stash him till the Cubs play a bunch of lefties. But I think he could creep into some playing time more regularly at second base.
Can the Reds find playing time for Duvall? Because his minor league numbers suggest that he could be a fantasy relevant player. You know, he's old for every level he's been at, but 230 homer seasons and another 27 homer season. You know, there could be value there, especially with how bad the Reds offense has been, minus Joey Votto of late. He might get some playing time.
Okay, keep an eye on those guys, Baez and Duvall. The Cubs acquired outfielder Austin Jackson from Seattle for an international draft slot and a player to be named later. And Brad Miller is going to play some center field for Seattle. Ketel Marte returned to the lineup. He played shortstop. The Cubs getting Austin Jackson. What does that mean?
Well, maybe that is bad news for Baez, because I was thinking, well, maybe Bryant can play more outfield. Baez can fill in at third as well as second. I don't know where Jackson plays. If I recall correctly, he's got very good splits against lefties. But, yeah, so maybe he's a platoon guy.
Right.
I think
in a corner, I guess.
It probably means that they don't expect Jorge Soler back for a little while, right?
Yeah, that'd be my takeaway. But I don't think Jackson's going to have much value there.
Okay. Kansas City acquired Johnny Gomes for shortstop Luis Valenzuela. Anything here? Johnny Gomes to the Royals?
He'll hit lefties.
This is all answering Joe's question.
I'm not sure if he'll actually play all that much. So, you know, I don't think there's any value there now.
And the Giants acquired Alejandro Deaza from the Red Sox for a minor league pitcher. And Deaza was playing over Castillo and or Bradley. So I think the big thing here is that it frees up a spot in the outfield. Assuming, I don't know what they're going to do with Hanley Ramirez. He's still out. But
yeah,
they could go Betts. It's easier to go Betts in center, Bradley in left, Castillo in right.
Yeah, no, it's
stupid.
Good.
Hanley's annoying.
Good news for both of those guys in the corners.
Yeah, I mean, we'll see what happens when Ramirez gets healthy again. He's missed, I think, four straight. Is anything here with the Giants?
I don't think so. I mean, if we were talking yesterday about how Marlon Byrd could have a hard time getting starts, I would think it'd be even tougher for Deaza.
Big, big series for the Giants. There's a tough loss last night to the Dodgers in like 14 innings. So if you were up late and maybe you had somebody in that game, I know I did. I had Yasmani Grandal on my FanDuel team. It didn't work out so well. I'd just about done trusting him for a little while. But if you haven't done well in your seasonal leagues, or maybe you've done great and you just want some more, FanDuel.com is changing the way people play fantasy sports. It absolutely is. You need to try it now if you haven't tried it already. And if you're hooked, then I totally get that, because I am completely addicted to FanDuel. I can't wait for football to start. But right now, I'm still playing daily fantasy baseball. FanDuel.com/CBSPod is our league. You can join and you can compete against us for just $2 Monday through Friday. First place gets $100, and there's more money to be paid out than just first place. So plenty of money to go around. $2 entry. That's nothing. Entry fee start at just $1. If $2 is too rich for you, how about $1? Go to FanDuel.com and use our offer code CBSPOD. FanDuel.com, use the offer code CBSPOD. And for every dollar you deposit, FanDuel matches it with up to $200 that gets earned as you play. CBSPOD. Check it out. FanDuel.com. Giving away a lot of money, and I know you want some of that. Big news from around baseball. Carlos Martinez will not make his start today. He has a back injury, and Marco Gonzalez will start tonight versus Washington. Any hot takes on this?
Pretty tepid take. I included Marco Gonzalez in today's waiver wire column just because Martinez, maybe he could be out for a while. We still don't know for sure if Lance Lynn's going to be back, so there could be some opportunity for Gonzalez to stick around. Unfortunately, he's really had a pretty lousy year. That's been punctuated by injury, not a lot of strikeouts, but, you know, he's a guy who could be picked up in deeper leagues in case he sticks in the Cardinals rotation.
He started the season on a DL, right?
Yeah, and then he missed some time in the middle of the season.
And so it's just been, struggling to get on track from that. But the numbers the previous couple of seasons were very good.
Oh, yeah.
He came into the season as a top 50 prospect from Baseball America.
Yeah, no, I think he's worth a flyer, but I also think people should temper their expectations because even recently, you know, coming off the DL, I think he's made 7 starts since then. Not really terrific peripherals.
That's Marco Gonzalez, Cardinals pitcher, with Carlos Martinez out with the back injury. And Lance Lynn is expected to start Saturday, but it's not set in stone. What was I going to say about this? Oh, we are at the really annoying, frustrating, unfair part of the season.
Nobody goes on the DL.
Yeah. Guys get hurt and they don't go on the DL because of the September call-ups. They don't need the roster space. So you're going to have to make some tough decisions. We'll try to help you out. Obviously, don't drop Carlos Martinez. Not saying that. And I'm not even saying he's going to be one of those guys that needs a DL stint. But this next guy, Mark Teixeira.
This guy.
Yeah, Mark Teixeira is going to have more tests on his shin. He will not play against Boston today or tomorrow. We don't know when he's going to come back. It's really bad. And he's not going on the DL. So you got to keep him on your bench. But hopefully that shin bruise, deep bone bruise, they've been calling it, isn't anything more serious.
Yeah, no, there's no way I'm dropping Teixeira at this point, which, like you said, it's annoying if you need roster space. I think there could be kind of an interesting sort of chain of, you know, sort of dominoes falling as a result here. I was really surprised to see Dustin Ackley getting the call up. And, you know, I don't think he's going to play first, but, you know, I think Greg Bird will probably continue to get reps there. I know there were some reports that A-Rod could play some first, but I think A-Rod himself could spend some time out of the lineup.
Yeah, those were shot
somewhere
down.
In that chain, I think Ackley could get some playing time. And when the Yankees picked him up, I said, I know he's had a lousy season, but I actually think he could be good as a Yankee, especially at Yankee Stadium, given his hitting style.
Yeah, could certainly come into play. Carlos Correa returned and homered. Rougned Odor returned and kept his fingernail on. That's about all I can say for him. Brandon Crawford is back. Manny Machado played shortstop. They started him at shortstop. They're trying to get all three of their catchers in the lineup at the same time. Matt Wieters played first. Caleb Joseph caught.
That's a weird thing to say.
Yeah.
And Clevinger logged a lot of time as their DH. That's very surprising.
But Machado playing short would be great. He needs 3 more appearances there.
Yeah, not going to matter. It would be great to see him get shortstop eligibility for next season, but there's no way that happens.
Yeah, well, what does he need, 20?
Yeah, he'd have to start pretty much every other game from here on out.
Yeah, you never know. J.J. Hardy's on the DL, obviously, so you never know. Steven Matz, his next start should be in the majors. Awesome. Felix Hernandez, scheduled to start Saturday at Oakland. Miguel Gonzalez going to have an MRI on his elbow and his shoulder. Is there an Orioles minor leaguer that would intrigue you?
Actually, no.
Okay, great.
The guy I'd been expecting early in the season to come up in a situation like this is Kyle Davies, and he actually did just get called up by the Brewers, who they got in exchange for Gerardo Parra.
Ah.
But that's neither here nor there.
No, it's not. How about Monday standouts other than Daniel Salazar?
Yeah, he was awfully good. Let's see. When you mentioned Machado, let's get back to Jackie Bradley because
this thing is weird. This Jackie Bradley thing.
I'm not sure which thing. Just that he's even
just that he's hitting this well. I know I've been the Jackie Bradley guy, and even I don't know what to. I don't know what to do with my hands. I don't know what to make of this.
Well, what do you think?
I don't know what to make of that comment.
Yeah, what do you mean your hands?
I'm like, you know, you're so excited. You're like, I don't know what to do with my hands.
Oh, just that's probably from all the Diet Coke, bro. But anyway.
You can sound, you can hear the excitement in my voice.
Jackie Bradley, since being recalled, where do you think he ranks among outfielders?
I'm going to say top 10.
I wouldn't go that high, and yet I wouldn't be shocked. It's just he's you know, even with the great hitting, he's you know, been skipped. I'm gonna say top 30 and guess that I'm probably underestimating.
Top 30.
Yeah,
you are underestimating him. Eighth in points, ninth in roto.
Yeah, he's hitting for power, like a lot of power.
And again, I mean, he hasn't been playing every day, so that really tells you something. And after that 5 hit game that he had, where I kind of suspected, all right, you know, that this has been fun, but you know. Let's just get back to reality here. Since then, he is 13 for 39 with 2 home runs and 5 doubles.
Yeah.
So it might have been something to him removing that toe tap and all that, which is what he did right before the hot streak.
And Bradley's only 53% owned. So, at this point, got to pick him up or what? What do you think? Jackie Bradley.
Yeah, I think so. I'm hesitating and not sounding super excited because, like you said, I don't know what's going to happen with Hanley Ramirez when he's healthy enough to play. And if the Red Sox haven't seen fit to keep Bradley in the lineup, more regularly up until this point, I can't trust them to do it when Ramirez is available.
There is obviously the talk about Ramirez playing some first base, but it'd be hard to imagine him doing that on an everyday basis this year, right?
Yeah. No harder than it is to imagine him playing left field.
Yeah, well, that was a big mistake, but they should just DH him and put Ortiz at first or something. Or sit Hanley Ramirez.
That's a damning indictment of Hanley Ramirez's defensive abilities.
I feel like if you just throw him into the fire at first base, like without giving him an off season to learn it, yeah, he's gonna die. He's gonna get hurt. he's not gonna get hurt. But it would scare me for his sake. I don't want him playing there, guys. I would be very afraid for him.
Yeah,
I have him in my thoughts. I worry about Hanley Ramirez. I don't know what to tell you.
You don't know what to do with your hands.
My Hanleys. Anyone else?
I'm gonna have to defer on this one.
All right. Well, I got a couple more. Mark Trumbo, 2 home runs, and he's been really good since the break. But it's one of those situations where he had to have a stupid good game for me to realize what he's been doing. And I guess I'm not alone because his ownership percentage has actually been going down since the break.
Yeah.
But
he's been very Trumbo-esque.
Well, a little better than Trumbo-esque. He's hitting .271, which is better than you probably would expect for him. .336 on base, .496 slugging over that time. So that's 8 home runs in what I think is 37 games. So the power's back.
All right, so what I want to see now is, because the fantasy point production hasn't been there, and I wonder if that's just because he hasn't been playing every day, but maybe now that Austin Jackson got traded, Trumbo gets more playing time, and you're right about his ownership percentage, Al. It's down to 61%.
Yeah. I think he's not scoring points because, first of all, he's not a points guy, and he's not been producing as many runs as the power output might suggest he would. Yeah, he might play a little bit more, but I think he needs to produce a few more runs. And I think I wouldn't be picking him up in a 3 outfielder points league because that's just not his format.
Okay.
But he needs to be more owned in Roto.
Yeah, he's been playing a lot. He's pretty much every day now.
Pretty close, yeah.
Yeah, so I wonder if he has good lefty-righty splits. They have faced so many lefties. Look at this.
Oh, yeah, because that's why Gutierrez is playing so much.
9, 10, 11, 12 lefties in their last 13, 14. 12 in their last 15 games.
That's crazy.
Yeah. Wow. 12 left-handed starters in their last 15 games. Unbelievable.
But that guy who emailed us, that would help him out a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah. But unfortunately, you have to think that's going to even out.
Yeah.
Start facing righties, which would be good for Cano probably, right? Just riffing.
Yeah.
Can I nominate Joey Votto as a standout?
You're the host. Go ahead.
Let's talk about him.
524 on base percentage in August. And that sounds impressive.
577 since the All-Star break.
549 in July.
I said 577 since the All-Star break. That's the highest we've said so far.
Come on, Chris. He said 577.
But mine was a whole month,
That's true. Whoa, mine's a month and a half, Chris. Do the math here.
You walked 38 times in August.
I don't have those numbers. Well, anyway, Votto is the number 2 fantasy first baseman in points and number 3 in Roto, and I think Al had him as a bounce-back candidate. So take a bow, Al Melchior, with your Dallas Keuchel, Joey Votto lineups. But yeah, quite a year for him. 25 home runs, only 65 RBI. And he's still a top 3 first baseman in fantasy, Joey Votto. What do you guys have to say about him?
He's incredible.
Is he this good? Is he a legit, back to being a first-round pick, maybe second-round pick, good?
I could see second round. I
think you still have concerns about health. He's a 32-year-old. He's not a small guy, and he's missed significant time two of the last four seasons. He's been healthy this season, but as far as production, I mean, the production's been there every year except for last year.
Ryan Zimmerman, 3-for-5 of the home runs. Since Zimmerman came off the DL in 33 games, he is batting .275 with 8 home runs. And Ryan Zimmerman is slugging .587 in that stretch. 4 homers in his last 7 games. Do you guys feel good starting Ryan Zimmerman?
I'd feel great starting him.
All right.
I didn't realize what the batting average was, but I know his overall batting average is still pretty low, so that surprised me how well he's been going, but he just has a big hole to dig out of. I think he's must start right now.
It's just, you know, I feel dumb because Zimmerman and Votto, Zimmerman in particular, I just kind of wrote him off. And I'm talking about when we were drafting, you know, back in March.
Yeah.
And Votto, I didn't really draft. Oh, no, I did draft him in one league because I thought the value was pretty good on him. But I guess I didn't really have high expectations for either guy. So maybe there's a lesson to be learned here about players who have done it before, haven't been that far removed from it, you know, still capable.
Yeah, and I think there's the other lesson to take would be that it's going to be really easy to overrate rookies because this rookie class has been so ridiculous, and it might lead to kind of unsexy veterans getting underrated.
Back to yesterday's action. 3-up, 3-down. 3-up number 1 was Jackie Bradley. I'll ask you this. Would you rather have Bradley or Mark Trumbo?
All right. Well, in a points league, it's definitely Bradley.
Yeah. Although he strikes out quite a lot. 27% of the time.
Yeah, it's about the same as Trumbo, actually. Well, yeah, it's tough just again because of the playing time issue. I suppose I probably would go Trumbo just for that reason, at least in Roto.
Okay.
Yeah.
Brandon Moss, last 5 games for Brandon Moss, 5-for-15, 2 home runs, 3 RBI, 4 walks, and a strikeout with a triple. And even started against a lefty yesterday, Gio Gonzalez. Brandon Moss is 48% owned. Any thoughts on him?
It's just hard to trust this. I don't trust the playing time necessarily. If he gets cold, there's the lefty righty thing with him, and there's just the general streakiness.
I was surprised to see 48%. I thought that felt high, actually.
Yeah.
Would you rather have Moss or Marcell Ozuna?
I'd actually rather have Ozuna.
Yeah.
Okay, how about the 3-up number 3, Justin Bour, deep leagues, 12% owned, 2 home runs and a double in his last 3 games. And in the last 21 days, Bour is the number 16 first baseman in points, number 15 in Roto, which is pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
292 with 4 home runs in that stretch. What do you think?
Him and Derek Dietrich are supposed to be playing more against lefties down the stretch. The Marlins are trying to figure out what they have in those two guys.
What kind of league would you be looking to add Justin Bour?
Probably still NL only.
I would go like 15 team mixed for Bour.
Okay.
A little shallower.
3 down. Brett Gardner. This is really annoying. He sat again against a lefty. He's been doing that lately. They haven't faced a lot of lefties. But since the All-Star break, Gardner's batting .211. With a .320 on base, .272 slugging percentage. He is running a little more lately, but not that much. And last year, he had a terrible second half. He batted .218 after the All-Star break. He did hit 8 home runs, though. This year, it's just nothing but bad stuff for Gardner.
Yeah.
You got to. What do you think? Sit him?
I mean, I think you probably want to look at the schedule. If they've got a couple of left-handed pitchers in a row, you probably sit him. Although his production...
It's not the very same. I don't think he's going to regularly sit against lefties, but yeah. Beltran's just been too good to take out of the lineup. Gardner was a guy in a 3-outfielder league that was kind of droppable when he wasn't going well. Would it be crazy to drop Brett Gardner at this point in a 3-outfielder league?
No, I don't think it is.
Yeah.
Which is not to say he won't turn it around, but I feel pretty confident that I could get somebody off my bench, if not waivers, that could be an adequate replacement.
Would you drop him for Jackie Bradley?
I don't think I would.
Yeah, I wouldn't.
All right, so it's got to be someone reliable and good. Would you drop him for Jason Worth?
Yeah, I'm not sure how reliable Worth is either.
I don't think so.
Yasmani Grandal, he's cold, and 10 for 58 with two extra base hits in August. And he's got this shoulder injury that apparently is affecting his swing. How worried are you about Grandal?
I'm fairly, just because it could be injury related, but not to the degree that it's, you know, I'm dropping him. Maybe in a one catcher league, I could see sitting him.
Would you rather have Yasmani Grandal or Wellington Castillo rest of season?
I'd rather own Grandal, but I sure would like to have Castillo starting right now.
Yeah.
What about Stephen Vogt or Grandal?
I'd rather have Vogt.
Okay, and Jed Lowry is three down number three. He did homer yesterday, but he was 0 for 28 before that. Is he good, Jed Lowry?
I think he is. He's just a good hitter. And so, no, I do expect him to bounce back. I wouldn't drop him either.
Okay, well, he's 35% owned, so if you need a shortstop, Jed Lowry is available in a lot of leagues. It's time to talk pitchers. Two-man rotation from yesterday. Gio Gonzalez, quality start. Not too bad at St. Louis. Six innings, three runs, five hits, two walks, and four strikeouts.
I thought about picking him up for the two-start week, and I just looked at the last three starts, which were so bad. Couldn't really find an explanation for it, but and earlier in the season, I probably would just say, oh, you know, longer track record says just give this guy a whirl, but I didn't feel like I could afford it this week. And the small sample is what it is, a small sample.
If you're in a daily league, would you start him this weekend against Atlanta?
Well, you figured looking at this week that Atlanta would be the game you start him against.
Right.
You wouldn't feel great about St. Louis, but you could start him against Atlanta.
And he's probably going against Shelby Miller, so he's definitely going to win.
So that means he's going to toss a shutout.
Probably.
And 1-0.
Yeah, I mean, that was only his second quality start in 8 starts, so I understand. I sat him in well, yeah. I'm no longer in the podcast league, you jerks, but...
But I think you would feel pretty okay about starting him against Atlanta.
Yeah. Tyson Ross, I think going by the game log, this was probably Tyson Ross's second best start of the season. It was his second longest. He's only gone more than 7 innings once, more than 6 innings, I don't know, 3 or 4 times this year.
And that's amazing.
Yeah, but he's pitching better lately, and now he's a top 30 starting pitcher, Tyson Ross. He's number 29 in points, number 27 in Roto. What are your thoughts on his season?
Yeah, they have, I'd say, mildly disappointing. And sometimes I have to kind of remind myself of who Tyson Ross was like 2 years ago. And you'd be very happy to have this version. But I think maybe we got a little bit spoiled by the year and a third or so prior coming into the season. But it's the lack of control and efficiency that makes him just something a little less than what I was hoping for.
Let's talk about the fringy starting pitchers. No, you shut up, Chris.
He's fine. That's all I wanted to say. Okay, he's fine.
Chris and I are good friends. At least we are now. So, fringy starting pitchers. It was an interesting week if you were starting two start guys, or it was an interesting day. Hector Santiago doomed you, but we said sit him. He's been terrible.
Yeah.
Bartolo Colon won you a championship or a playoff round. 8 scoreless innings against Philadelphia. Eduardo Rodriguez, Ivan Nova,
It's a night start for Rod.
He's bad at night?
He's good at night. But yeah. Actually, I looked into it. I'm not really buying it because no more strikeouts at night than during the day, or at least not significantly.
And Jared Eichhoff is 17% owned, and I don't know, maybe he's not that bad. 284 ERA and 3 starts.
Take a throat lozenge.
Eichhoff, very good, very good.
I look at Bartolo the same way I look at like every knuckleball pitcher, but especially R.A. Dickey. I know he's not a knuckleballer, but he might as well be. Just because I don't think what's happened in the past, like in his most recent start, has any bearing on what's going to happen in the future. Like he's not someone that I can look at. Like I can look at Joe Ross and say, last 5 starts, strikeouts are down. I'm a little worried. Bartolo Colon, what happened in the previous start, it has no bearing. He is what he is, and no like stretch of the season is going to change my opinion on him. So yeah. Nice start, Bartolo.
It was interesting. He had good matchups this week, and so far took advantage of one. He's got the Marlins coming up this weekend. In the bullpen, Gene Machi got the save last night. He is not good. He should not have gotten the save. He got lucky. Calls were terrible. I was very, very mad.
You know who was also not good in the bullpen last night?
Who's that?
Brad Ziegler.
Well, I gave him a pass because he was at Colorado.
Yeah, and it'd be easy to do that, but he was terrible the time before that, too.
Was he?
Yeah.
Damn it.
Last two appearances now, 10 hits allowed, 7 runs, and out of 55 pitches in those two appearances combined, just 30 strikes.
Well, what are you thinking? Addison Reed?
They might want him now, because there really aren't good alternatives. The guy I guess you would target as a handcuff would be David Hernandez. Who's had just kind of a so-so season.
Okay. It's
a situation to watch. I mean, I haven't read anything that indicates that Ziegler's job's on the line, but that's just, it's a little weird for him to implode like that back to back.
Injuries, news, and notes. Corey Dickerson took batting practice. Lucas Duda will not be back when he's first eligible on September 6th. Hanley Ramirez was out again. Mentioned that. Dustin Pedroia, targeting September 10th. Christian Yelich pinch hit again. He was still unable to start. Ben Revere led off again. I really like that for Ben Revere.
Mm-hmm.
Yunel Escobar returned to the, I almost said Redskins lineup. He's their quarterback now.
This is the baseball podcast, Adam.
Yes, it is. Chris Narveson had a good start, but he left it
Narves.
With a blister on his
son
finger.
Of Narve. Or Narve.
Narves.
And Josh Hamilton may only pinch hit when he's healthy enough to play.
Sure.
Emails, fantasybaseball@cbsi.com. We have about 7 minutes left in the show because Al has to go do video. So I want to do the emails and then
some
FanDuel talk.
Unless you want to go on without me.
No. Oh, actually, we could do that. I don't know why I didn't think about that. Anyway, Mark in Tallahassee. Are we reading too much into a player's value? Change it. Are we okay? Mark in Tallahassee. I'm going to give it another shot. I don't like Florida State, so I read your email wrong. Are we reading too much into a player's value changing by being traded? I remember y'all saying that Marlon Byrd's fantasy value would go way down when he was traded to the Giants, but he has been great since then.
I think the reasoning behind us saying his value would go down in San Francisco was that he would play less, right?
Yup. Oh, no, it's probably also the Cincinnati thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, the park.
Remember, I gave the stat out last week when we said that the Marlins were thinking about moving in their outfield walls. Since the Marlins moved to their new ballpark, they've hit the second fewest home runs behind the Giants, who had like 30 fewer. I don't remember if it was just the Giants or if it was just hitters in, I think it was just the Giants, home runs. Like 30 fewer than the Marlins in that stretch. It's a bad park.
Yeah, it's a really tough park to homer in, and his value is almost entirely homer dependent. It's 10 games.
Yeah.
And he's hit 3 home runs in 10 games. If we think he's going to hit 3 home runs every 10 games for the rest of the season, then we missed. But it's 10 games.
And I think he'll be good on the road. Depending on where he's playing.
If he's playing.
For as much as he's been traded, Marlon Byrd has never been a Marlin nor a bird, like a team that has a bird mascot.
He's never been a bird?
I learned that from Matt Sussman's
That's
Twitter
true.
Account.
Yeah, how about that? Steve. Okay, I'll just say one thing. He was on the Phillies, and the Philly fanatic, he looks like he has some bird in his DNA.
Perhaps. It's fur, not feathers.
Yeah.
He just looks like he could fly if he wanted to.
Philly Fanatic can do anything he wants to.
All right. Steve in beautiful Seattle says, I was listening to the podcast yesterday, and when you got to the part where you talked about pitchers you can't trust, you named most of my pitching staff. Liriano, Hamill, Tehran, Pineda, Odorizzi. I have Matz coming off the DL. Would you drop any of those guys for Steven Matz? Liriano, Hamill, Tehran, Pineda, Odorizzi.
Yeah, I'd drop Odorizzi.
And would you drop anyone else for Holland, Nola, Iglesias, Medlin, Rodon, or Corbin? It's categories.
Yikes. That's 10-team league. You know what?
I was thinking Iglesias for Tehran.
I was too.
I was thinking a Holland for Tehran. You'd go Iglesias over Holland?
Scott would say.
You guys are going Iglesias over Holland?
Yeah.
Okay. All right, yeah, Tehran. See you later. Ray from, or no, Ryan from New York City says, Dear Ray, Terry, and Bunchy.
I don't know that one.
That is Ray Donovan, and you guys are missing out.
Company
man right here. 12-man Roto Keeper Auction League. Players earn eligibility after 10 games at a position or 5 games started. 10 played or 5 started. Matt Carpenter is one away from second base slash middle infield eligibility. Who's the better keeper option next year, Carpenter or Odor?
I got to go Rugi there. He may not necessarily be better next year than Carpenter, but I just want Odor as a keeper for the long term.
Yeah, I guess if it's a one year keeper league, maybe you go Carpenter, but if it's a long term thing, Odor's numbers since getting called up are still unbelievable.
Okay, Sean in Kingston, Ontario. Hello, Ace, Jesse, and Giordano.
Venturas.
Yeah.
You got it.
Finally one I can get.
I've been keeping Steven Matz on my DL. 12-team, 5x5 categories. Would you drop Jimmy Nelson, Mike Fiers, or Raisel Iglesias for Matz?
Hmm.
He could also drop an extra shortstop. He has Lindor and Reyes.
Reyes has been bad since going to Colorado.
Yeah, I thought about benching him for Marte this week. I couldn't do it, but.
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense. I don't think you can drop him or Lindor.
No, I mean, I'm thinking more Nelson or Fiers. Yeah. Probably Nelson. Sure would like to take a look at his schedule.
Was that the Philly Fanatic sound?
No, that was Nelson Muntz.
Oh, okay.
Said no. You know,
that was good.
Reyes has gotten a lot better, guys. He's starting to heat up. Yeah, he's starting to heat up a little bit.
Okay.
I'll look up some numbers for you, but
I'll look up his numbers.
All right, go for it. 2 steals recently, 2 home runs in his last 7 games.
5 hits over his last 4 games. Yeah.
2 home runs in his last 7, 2 steals in that stretch.
Yeah.
I go to his player page, I see the point total, 24 points 2 weeks ago, 19 last week. So maybe he's scoring some runs.
The bar's been set low for Coors Field, Jose Reyes.
He's not doing as well as I thought, that's for sure. But he had a 4-hit game on August 18th, a 3-hit game on August 20th. So I think he's getting a little bit better. But look, you're not dropping Reyes, so it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
And last one, are the Astros sticking with a 6-man rotation? Are any other teams using a 6-man rotation?
I think there's probably a few, and yet... I'm just absolutely blanking. I mean, and something like the Mets. Yeah, the Mets, you know, on some weeks will go 6-man. Are the Astros sticky with a 6-man? I don't think there's been a determination there. I mean, when they brought McCullers back, I think the idea was they were going to go 5-man and kind of figure it out along the way, but I don't think they're taking anybody out.
And that email was addressed to Noodles, Max, and Cockeye, which is a very strange reference. Anybody ever see this one? Once Upon a Time in America?
No.
Yeah, it's just weird. Weird reference. FanDuel. Okay, I know Chris writes for Sportsline.com. He covers DFS every day. So
yeah.
You made your lineup today?
Kind of. Well, I went with we have our lineup optimizer there, so I went with that.
Okay.
That's what I write about. And so, it's based on a series of thousands of projections. So I like going with that. So here, the pitchers headline today's action. Cause do you go with Sale, Mad Bum, or Greinke?
What about Cole?
Or Garrett Cole? He's a significant step below. The other three guys are all 12,000 or more on FanDuel. And I think you got to go with Sale if you're going with one of the really expensive pitchers and this is the biggest reason. Greinke and Mad Bum are going against each other.
Yeah. And for that reason, I thought about Cole. But no, I'm going Sale too. And you got Cueto and Verlander also going against each other.
Well, so what am I missing here? Because Gerrit Cole is 2,800 less than Chris Sale, 2,700 less than Madison Bumgarner, and he's facing Milwaukee.
The strikeouts are so important in FanDuel, and it's not that Gerrit Cole is not a strikeout pitcher, but he's not Chris Sale.
Chris Sale. That's the biggest
thing. I know he's not Chris Sale, but he's 2,700 less. That's 2,800 less than Sale. That's a lot.
Oh, no, it is. And it's just the times where I've sacrificed to pitching to invest more in hitting. I don't know that it has ever worked out for me just because there's so much hitter variance.
Cole just, like, he's been good. You know, 14.3 FanDuel points last game, 15 the previous one, but 7.7, 8.3, 8, 11. He hasn't been great lately, whereas Chris Sale has been, kind of goes without saying, utterly dominant over his last four starts, averaging 19.6 points per game. He has the ninth highest strikeout rate ever.
Yeah.
The ninth highest strikeout
rate.
Ever.
I'm not trying to talk you out of Sale. I'm just saying I want that extra money. That's all.
Yeah, I think with 14 games.
Al's got to get out of here. I'm sorry. So, Al, you any final thoughts?
No, I'm going to turn it over to Chris.
All right. Go for it.
So, have fun, guys.
I think with 14 games on the schedule tonight, tonight's a night that you can afford to go cheap at hitter because there's going to be a lot of options available.
Such as Ben Revere for $2,700 mm-hmm. leading off against Cody Anderson.
Yep, that is one of the key ones for me. You know, I'm looking at Jay Bruce. He's been so bad lately, Loke. Like, 477 OPS in the month of August for Jay Bruce, but he's so cheap. He's going against Dan Heron, so there's homer potential there. Yeah, it's not terribly easy to find cheap guys tonight. It just depends on how much do you believe in the last month stats versus season stats when projecting? You know, that's the biggest thing for me, because Todd Frazier and Jay Bruce have been awful. Just abysmal.
Right. Frazier is the guy that I put in my lineup.
Every day.
No, not every day. But if I'm, like, scrambling to fill out my lineup, I'll be like, all right, maybe this will be the day.
He's got he's $2,600 and he's going against Dan Heron. If ever he was going to break out and hit a home run and give you some nice value tonight, it would be tonight.
And then another guy that I played yesterday at a cheap price and it didn't work was Mike Trout. And now he's facing Cody Martin today, who I know nothing about, but he's a reliever.
With Trout, the biggest thing for me is just that it really does seem like that. It coincides so perfectly with the wrist injury that it's hard for me to just look at it and write it off and say he's going to turn it around eventually.
All right, so I'm going to put Pujols in my lineup at least at 3,300.
I like Jose Abreu at 3,600 tonight against, I completely blanked on the Minnesota Twins pitcher.
I'll tell you in a second. It is Tyler Duffy. Damn you beat me.
Yeah. Yeah. I like Jose Abreu at 3,600.
Talk about a guy who's not doing anything, though.
What's that?
Not doing anything lately.
Yeah. 3,600. See, that's another thing, though, is how much do you value? Like, it's Jose Abreu. We know he's great. And so, like, Albert Pujols hasn't been great lately either.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
I really like Stephen Vogt. He ended up finishing August with an 847 OPS. He's homer in his last two games. He's still only 2,500, though.
That's a good call. What's annoying is, and who are the A's facing? They're facing Shoemaker. That is a sneaky play, by the way, Shoemaker.
Yeah.
If you want to save some money at starting pitcher, that is a high risk one. And he's only 8,000, so I'd rather have Cole for 10,000, so I don't think I'd do that.
Yeah, I mean, tonight there are some decent low end starting pitchers. You've got Justin Verlander, you've got Joe Ross. But then beyond that, the really low-end starting pitchers are pretty awful. You know, and there's some guys that you probably want to take advantage of. You could stack right-handed Braves if there are any that you like.
No.
You could stack the Mets against Aaron Harang. You probably want to do that, right?
Yes, I have Granderson in my lineup. The other guys that I want are pretty expensive. Manny Machado is 3,600. He's been struggling a little bit, but Drew Smyly just hasn't been very good, and not only that, he doesn't pitch deep into games.
What price would be too much for Joey Votto, who just gets on base three times every game, no matter what else he does?
Against Dan Haran?
He's only 4,500, so there's homer potential against Dan Haran. And he literally gets on base. I think 9 out of the last 10 games he's gotten on at least twice. He's walking two or three times a game. I think 7 of his last 10 games he has at least 2 walks. Like, it's not...
It's just hard it's hard to have him. If I pick an expensive starting pitcher, which I am,
yeah,
I hardly ever have an expensive first baseman.
Yeah, it's tough to fit him in there. It depends which starting pitcher you're going with. If you go Gerrit Cole, you can probably manage it.
Carlos Gomez, $2,800.
Another really cheap guy.
You could just, if you want, you could just do a gamble lineup where you have a good starting pitcher and you take Todd Frazier and you take Carlos Gomez. And you can maybe even afford Mike Trout. And you just hope these guys come around. But I think Ben Revere is a must today.
Pretty close to it, yeah.
Let's see if I can find any other... Diamondbacks would be nice. But any other Blue Jays, because I think they're going to have an eruption.
If you could actually Diamondbacks, they're the 3 o'clock game tonight. So.
Oh, they're not. Okay, so they're not in play. All right, well... Chris, anything else?
It's nice to be back.
Yeah, it's very nice to have you back. Much appreciated. All your info. Who's pitching for the Brewers today? This is what happens when I make lineups on the air. Jimmy Nelson's pitching. So
Nelson's pitching tonight, yeah.
See what Gregory Polanco's price is. I like lefties. Gregory Polanco's $3,400. Not that bad.
Been red hot.
I've already filled out my outfield, though. All right, Chris, we're rambling. So thank you very much. Everybody go FanDuel.com/CBS pod. Compete against us. For Al Melchior and Chris Towers, I'm Adam Azer, and we'll talk to you tomorrow.
See you.